Well, we're here in Park. It's not the park, it's a place called Park near Bovey Tracy, beautiful National Trust property. Carl Munson here of the Barefoot Broadcast with Mike Brody here of OurNet, a project that we're both working on. And the question we're asking today is, where might the internet go? How does Web 2.0 run into Web 3.0 and how can we influence that? It might be useful, Mike, to... Oh, hello, Mike, by the way.
Hello, Carl.
It might be useful to maybe backtrack a little bit and describe our understanding of Web 2.0. Do you want to have a little go at that?
Yeah, I'm not really prepared for that, but I'm game for anything, as you know. So it seems to me that Web 2.0 is an interconnected web. All the language is about interconnection, and as if there's something magical about being interconnected. For me, I guess the issue is who you interconnected with and what does that interconnection lead to. And, you know, there seems to be a general movement that Web 2.0 has moved towards a centralised control mechanism for the web. So you've got the big giants who started off doing the most amazing things in terms of transforming our understanding and transforming our view of the world. But...
And we thank them for that, don't we? It's been amazing what's happened in the last 10, 15 years, I guess, in that landscape.
I think it's absolutely incredible. And without them, there would be no platform to move on from. But, and again, this is purely my point of view, that I think there are some drawbacks in the mechanisms they developed. And those drawbacks are substantially around concepts of control, that fundamentally they're centrally controlled organisations whose prime loyalty has got to be towards their shareholders. and that's fine, and yet they have the veneer of being caring, sharing organisations, whereas in fact, you know, what's really likely to be pulling the strings is if they're making a profit, who the profits are going to, maximising their profits, etc. All of which ups the share ratings and ups the holdings of the senior people involved in those organisations. So, and that absolutely doesn't undermine the contribution they made. I think it's been absolutely phenomenal the way in which they've blown apart old paradigms of doing things.
Yes, because it could seem a little bit churlish, couldn't it, to be critical of where we've got to with what's now known as GAFA, the domination of Google, Amazon, Facebook and Apple.
Yeah.
But they are, as you say, quite rightly there, I think, the new corporations.
Yeah.
What's possibly a little bit disingenuous is how they have this cuddly, friendly, we started up in a garage feel.
Yep.
We'll never charge you, do no evil, that sort of thing.
Yep.
That went down very well with people, didn't it? It was like Web 1.0, or the first iteration of the web, seemed to be just a lot of commercials or business cards. You could look at them, you could ring someone up. It was a limited interactivity. You could send them an email, which was amazing. And then Web 2.0 allowed this disintermediation.
Oh, lovely word.
I like to slip that in whenever I can. The idea that we could create the web ourselves collectively, so we could upload as well as be downloaded upon.
Yeah.
And it seems that these cuddly corporations have possibly twisted the agenda so that, yes, it's free, it looks free, but you pay in a different way now.
Yeah.
Because the mouths of the shareholders, that's the wind blowing in the orchard here, but I've rescued it. And this is a great example, isn't it, of Web 2.0. Here we are on Facebook Live, Facebook's contribution to immediate interactivity so that we can talk up and you can receive this video, we can create this video, and there is an interactivity. You could make another video yourself to respond to it, which is fabulous. This is a great place we've come to. But there is this sense, you know, there's a recent program, Secrets of Silicon Valley, the GAFA thing I became aware of because of a Rory Ketland Jones article on the BBC where Snapchat appeared to have just been, as the expression, knocked into a cocked hat by Facebook. It's as though no newcomers can come in now because the old cuddly web companies have indeed become corporations and have done the usual thing. It's like, oh dear, we should have seen that coming, really.
Yeah.
Which opens the door for Web 3.0 and what that might be. So over to you, because yours is actually Web 3.2.
It's a bit of a conceit, but yeah, 3.2.
Okay.
So Web 3, so who knows what these distinctions are, but one distinction of Web3 is it's about a user-controlled web. And examples of that are things like Bitcoins are a very good example of Web3. There's also there are lots of Digit, Reddit, organisations like that which offer channels which have some degree of user control. So the idea between Web 3.2 is that the point two is actually that the web is there, not creating an online community, brilliant though that is, but it's about creating an online community that serves real life communities. Mm. It's about having the internet as a tool for facilitating large scale discussions while celebrating small scale relationships and encouraging and developing small scale relationships. So that's the concept behind 3.2, Carl.
All right. So instead of us making the internet better, which is what you could be forgiven for thinking Web 3.0 would just be more improvement of us improving the internet. This is how the internet could truly improve human relationships outside the web as well, using the web as a tool.
Absolutely.
Rather than, because what we're the tools at the moment, aren't we?
You might well call yourself one. I couldn't possibly comment.
But it would appear to be the case that, you know, this is how corporations work. Whilst it looks free, for example, and whilst they're doing no evil, it's us that are the powerhouses as the bits and bytes of creating the commodity that is being sold for at vast expense and making a small number, well, which is the neoliberal idea, isn't it? You know, a smaller number of people are getting richer and richer at the expense of the rest. The rest in question here are the people who religiously contribute to various web platforms, giving them bulk and traffic and content, the benefit of which they're not really... Well, they are getting some benefit, aren't they? I mean, I love using Facebook and I get a benefit from that. But actually, in some ways, it looks like the joke's on me. Longer term, is I work for Mark Zuckerberg quite a lot, and he never even sends me a Christmas card or anything. Which might be a new thing. If Mark, you do get to see this, that might be a nice touch for all your Facebook users. Not just Happy Christmas on Facebook, like a handwritten Christmas card would be pretty amazing. It shouldn't take too long with how many billion users is it now? We'll do that, won't we? No, no.
I don't think so.
Won't be doing that.
And you say religiously, but also quite a lot of it is demonically posting stuff, because the system we have at the moment actually relies on central control to stop people bringing out the worst aspects of human behavior.
So
you know, that could arguably be the demonic side of it.
And another reflection or indication of the neoliberal trend of the web is the race to the bottom. So it's almost like not just the race to the bottom and the bottom line, but the race to the bottom of human behaviour, where people are trolling each other as a sort of default thing. It's just a way of letting off steam online. It's just to be nasty to people you don't really know, because you can do it safely from your own keyboard.
But, and then the solution to that is more central control, more censorship, more control from the top.
Yes.
Rather than relying upon the essential sociability and goodness of people.
Yes.
So Web 3.2 has to be about creating an environment where it really encourages positive communication, encourages social responsibility, encourages everything that is positive about our human condition, as opposed to having systems which actually encourage us to take advantage of and abuse each other.
And it's so doable,
isn't it?
Because
doable.
The signs are there in the way that we now pick our shops and traders on eBay, for example, because they get elevated by good feeling. And then you know to go straight there, don't you? Why that could happen with any sort of content, couldn't it?
Absolutely. And that is the fundamental sort of concept behind our is actively supporting positive contribution. And the positive contribution, I don't decide what the positive contribution is, the users decide what the positive contribution is. And that's, in that way, the community effectively polices each other.
Yes.
I don't like the term policing, but actually there's some sort of social control in their behaviour.
It's almost a way of supporting each other, though, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Another aspect that we've talked about before is we talk about contribution and the emergence now of cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
It might be, And also we could bring in the universal income,
the
universal citizens income, without wanting to sound too, you know, I'm not giving that a global premise, but it could happen within the web-based realms, couldn't it, rather than the national realms, that people are supported with an income based on their contribution in cryptocurrency towards their chosen web platform. In this case, we're talking about Arrownet as a possibility. Now, what might that look like? Because, you know, people say, that sounds too good to be true, and if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. It's just that we're not there yet, are we, in our thinking and our consciousness? That's why it sounds too good to be true, perhaps. Do you want to say some more about that?
It's the fundamentally, we're social creatures, and the way it works is that we support each other when times are hard, or you know, when they need it. So not everyone has to be going out sort of hunting or gathering. We can support each other, and that actually allows us to find the greater aspects of our capabilities, that we're not totally dependent on survival. Unfortunately, our systems are cat and dog systems. Sorry, cats and dogs, because actually they're quite social animals too. But
good boundaries as well, don't they? Well defined boundaries. Unlike us humans.
Yeah. But it's that we have designed systems which actually encourage us to abuse and take advantage of our neighbours. You know, it's like the people that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. It was relatively easy for them to do that. To go and stab someone would probably be a bit more difficult than they found it. So our systems actually have been developed to have us use each other.
But depersonalise.
Absolutely. So we get the advantage of, I don't know where this shirt was made, it was probably, I don't know, Bangladesh or somewhere.
And if you don't like it, you just go and get one somewhere else, don't you? With no slight intended or felt by the manufacturer.
Absolutely, But, you know, me buying this had an impact on the importers, or the shop that I bought it from, which has an impact on the importers, which has an impact on the suppliers, which, except right down to, you know, possibly the child labourer that helped make it. I don't know. You know, it might, I don't know where it came from, actually, to be honest, but our system actually encourages that separation and that depersonalization of contact.
And money's done that, hasn't it? Money has absolutely supercharged depersonalization.
And it's like,
well, money as we know it, anyway.
Money as we know it, and it's not that anyone set out with a really vicious intent to control the world. But actually, that's where money has led us. The monetary system we have has led towards a centralisation of wealth. What is it? Is it 70... What was your
figure? I heard that 45 men, and I think they probably are all men, own half the world's wealth.
Yeah.
Which is just a mind... But it's so mind-boggling, it's hard to really understand or get your head around, isn't it?
I mean, what does that mean? You know, but it does mean they've got power.
And it means it's a trend. It means that's where it's going to continue as well. Yeah. That's the most worrying thing.
And through every single recession that we've had, money has centralised.
Yeah.
You know, and power has centralised. It's just how life works. Until the whole thing blows apart. And I hope it won't, because actually... Who wants that, really? Who wants that conflict?
What level of disruption? So hopefully we have within our hands and our own means the ability to turn it round, the capability, the technology to turn it round before it gets to such a sort of doomy, gloomy scenario of breakdown.
Well, I choose to believe that's true.
Yeah.
That actually we have got the awareness, we have got the social understanding, we have got the technology, we have got everything to turn it all around. We just have to make a decision. That's what we want to do.
And I suppose that's an invitation, isn't it? Hi to Ed. Quite a few people have joined us. I see Anna, Christy, Fionn, John, Chris Norton. Lovely for everybody to just step in and then get bored and go again, which is what happens on Facebook Live. But anyway, we do, you know, welcome your insights and your questions here. But what I wanted to say is, it is within our hands, isn't it? Is that we don't have to be passive consumers of the latest web trends, which will inevitably turn us into just customers and clients.
Yeah.
We could be the co-creators of 3.0 and all the things that we've just been talking about, if people choose to step up and do that.
Yeah.
You know, as a very active choice of co-creation, rather than just the quiet recipients.
Yeah.
Which is probably what will happen if we don't step up, right?
Well, you know, I mean, we've had the example of Donald Trump, we've had the example of Brexit, we've had the example, you know, there's
do you need any more?
Do you need any more? Absolutely. And it's our system, you know, our systems actually create a context for us to operate within. Mm. If we are, it's like in the airline industry, it's incredibly safe. And the reason it's incredibly safe is that they've set up a system which actually welcomes feedback, welcomes positive contribution. Mm. You know, even if a pilot has done something really stupid, they get a complete carte blanche, providing they
it's a no guilt.
It's a no guilt.
I can't remember what they call it, but yes, yeah. I studied this fairly recently. Yes, where you can just report without fear of recrimination, yeah, because that adds to the general safety, yeah, rather than punishing that particular individual.
Yeah.
Very good.
Now, I could blame Donald Trump. I could blame Boris Johnson and Michael Gove, or you know, whoever. Hmm. For all the lies and dissemination, etc. But actually, they are a result of the system we've set up. All we have to do is change the system.
I think that's a fabulous note to end this on. All we have to do is change the system, guys. You got that? That's what 3.2 might look like. A change of the system, which changes the context, which then allows human beings to operate in a different way. Wow. Is that fair enough?
Who wouldn't want that?
And here we are in an orchard full of apples, each containing a seed, countless, infinite, possible apple trees.
Yeah. And